Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
We are going to look at types of causes and then begin to dwell on each of them, trusting the Lord for his power to liberate us from any of these causes that shall be mentioned. There are many types of causes, but we are going to highlight a few of them. Number one, we have the cause of God. How about God is a loving father? Does he cause? We'll get to know about it. The cause of God. Number two, we have the cause of man. The cause of man. Number three, we have the cause of the law. The cause of the law. Number four, we have the cause of the prophets. The curse of the prophets. Number five, we have the curse of seed time and harvest. The curse of seed time and harvest. Number six, we have the curse of bitterness. The curse of bitterness. And then number seven, we have the curse of Satan. The curse of Satan. I'm careful to put the curse of Satan at the end, because that for me is the smallest of all the curses to deal with. I'm going to run through it again. Number one, the curse of God. Number two, the curse of man. Number three, the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Number four, the curse of the prophets. The curse of the prophets. Number five, the curse of seed time and harvest. The curse of seed time and harvest. Number six, the curse of bitterness. The curse of bitterness. And number seven, the curse of Satan. Let's dwell on the curse of God. There's no place to begin expatiating or explaining types of causes than the cause of God. Genesis 3, verse 14 to verse 19. And then we'll read Genesis 4 from verse 9. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. This is God. So God also curses. He said, because you have done this. Now note, because you have done this. So there will always be a this for that. Because you have done this, you are going to have that. The serpent didn't just come under a curse for being a serpent. There's nothing wrong to be a snake. Jesus even said in Matthew 10 and verse 16, he said, I'm sending you in the midst of the wolves. Be as wise as the serpents. So there's nothing wrong to be a serpent. But when a serpent behaves like another animal, it has to be called to questioning. So God said, serpent, because you have done this. Now, what was the fault of the serpent here? Satan entered into it. And he allowed Satan to enter. So when somebody say it is the devil, that's not a good excuse, because you had an option not to have allowed the devil, but you allowed it. Just like God doesn't use men by force, the devil also will not use men by force. The devil will walk on your emotion until you consent to what he wants to be done. And that's where God will say, man, you are not excusable. He said, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. So God is invariably telling the serpent, if there is any other animal that is under a curse, your own curse puts you above their own. So when they are looking for animals under curses and begin to weigh the curses, the serpent's curse carries more weight than every other animal who is under a curse. He said, upon thy belly shalt thou go. So this also tells us that as soon as a curse comes, it takes away something from you. A curse removes advantage from you. There is nobody that is operating under a curse that is living in the advantage side of life. Every curse will take away advantage from you. A curse makes you to struggle where others are thriving. And of course, you can check. Of all the animals known, it is only the serpent that has no legs. Praise God. Even ants, they have legs. But God said to the serpent, you are going to crawl with your belly. Try crawling with your belly. And you understand what the serpent goes through every day. Little wonder the serpents are always very angry. Amen. He said, you are going to walk or crawl upon thy belly, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Dust is the worst kind of substance that ever exists. They are not good for anything. You can't use it for anything, but yet they can be so debilitating in their effect. And God says, serpent, you are going to eat dust. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Before now, they used to be very friendly. So when a curse comes, people that should like you ordinarily just develop hatred for you. They don't want to see your face. As beautiful as your face is, as handsome as you are, as soon as you appear, atmosphere becomes toxic. God said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. That's perpetual separation, generational quarrel, generational hatred. And he said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Somebody want to fight you when you didn't look for the person's trouble. And verse 16, he said unto the woman, now it is God that is still talking. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Amen. He shall have rule over thee. In other words, every woman that is under a curse will perpetually have a destiny tied to that of a man. How far you can go will be dictated by the man. That's for those under a curse. But when that curse is broken, how far you can go is in the hand of God. Amen. So that's why even a woman that is not married for life can be a success with God. Succeeds very well. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearken unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of the which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now God is careful here not to drop the curse on the head of the man. Because that man was going to be a divine species for generations to come. So God is not dropping the curse on his head. He's dropping the curse on the ground. Because God knows that there is hardly anything the man can do without the ground. So God said, the ground is cursed for thy sake. And because of that, in sorrow, you shall eat all the days of thy life. Amen. All right. So we are looking at the curse of God. The question is, does God curse? Some will say no, because God is such a loving father. How will he curse people that he loves so much? But the truth remains that if he can curse the man he first created, you know the sentiment people have with their first children and their last children. Amen. Parents have this sentimental attachment. Oh, my first daughter, my first son, oh, my last child. Adam was God's first created human. So if God could curse Adam, God is a curser. Amen. Praise God. No, we need to understand that. God is love, but God is not safe. God is love, but God is not safe. As in, God is not S-A-F-E, safe. Now, what that means, that even though God is love, and his love is so generous, but you don't play raffle with him. Because the loving God is also the consuming fire. Elisha was doubly anointed by God of the anointing of Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, he had just healed Jericho. They had issues with their water. And he healed it. Everything began doing well. Some of his people were eating, and someone had gone to the bush and brought in white grapes, put in the pot and boiled it. And when the people drank it, it was poisonous to their system. And somebody raised an alarm and said, "Man of God, the pot is poisoned." And he blessed the pot and the poison disappeared. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful show of divine power. With that same anointing, is headed towards somewhere. And then, these 42 children were playing football or something outside. And they saw him coming from a distance. Rather than concentrate on their football or on their play, they began calling him names. He didn't have hair all over his head. So he had a bald head. So the 42 children started shouting, "You bald-headed man, you bald-headed man." And he looked at them, and the Bible says he cursed them. And when he cursed them, immediately the Bible says there came out two she-bears out of the wood and tore 42 children. None of them escaped. Two bears came out from nowhere. Now, he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. If God is not a curser, he will not support a curse. Because when the Bible says he cursed them in the name of the Lord, that means God endorsed it. The name of the Lord will not work without the support or the endorsement of God. So it is not everybody that says in the name of Jesus that it works for. But in the name of Jesus works because God has given approval to the one who is saying it. Remember in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, the Bible said there were these seven sons of Sceva. who went out and saw a demon-possessed man. And they said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ that Paul preached, we adjure thee, come out. And the demon said, wow. Jesus we know. Paul we know. But who are you? So rather than coming out, they came out and gave them the beatings of their life. Seven of them, the Bible said the demons tore their clothes. And they ran into the street naked and the demon went back. Praise God. So Elisha cursed them in the name of the Lord. And then two she-bears came out and tore the 42 children, killed them. I'm sure that if you were one of the children's parents, you will never forgive Elisha for being so wicked. But that pictures the wrong side of God or the wrong side of the anointing. There is a side of God that doesn't show love. And that's the side everyone must learn to avoid. And that's the side of God we are going to see on the judgment day when he sits as a judge. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 16, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, you must understand that if the Lord doesn't change on the judgment day, if he says go to hell, he won't change his mind. Praise the Lord. Now, what I'm driving at, does God curse? Yes, he does. When we know that God curses, then we will try to know why he curses so that we can escape those curses. The strongest curse anyone can be under is the curse of God. Because if the most powerful person in your community is your enemy, then you are in trouble. Praise God. They say the most powerful person is the only person that rescues everybody in trouble in this community. Anybody that has any trouble is the person they go to. And then imagine yourself in trouble with that person. You just know that there's no other person anyone can go to. So that's what it means to be under the curse of God. You have no rescuer. I said to us some time ago that the greatest and the most dangerous corporation anyone can have working against him or her is when God cooperates with Satan to fight a man. Praise God. When God cooperates with the devil to fight you. And one of the reasons God will cooperate with the devil to fight you is in the book of James. He said, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. God giveth grace to the humble, but he stands in the way of the proud. In other words, he opposes. So he joined forces with the devil to oppose you. And that is the stiffest opposition anyone can have. So God curses. I'm going to mention to us three scriptural reasons why God curses, so that we can begin to look at it holistically and then see where we can remove ourselves. Number one, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Scriptural reasons for divine curse. The curse of the Lord. The curse of who? Please, can we read it together? One, two, go. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the habitation of the just. Amen. Now, this is automatic. You know, when they say something is automatic, it means it works on its own. As soon as you trigger it off, it begins to work. You don't need so much. The curse of the Lord is where? Is in the house. It's not by the door. It's in the house of the wicked. And it's very easy for somebody to say, well, I'm not wicked, because For some people, to be wicked means to be a murderer. To be wicked means to be an arm robber. But the Bible also defines what wickedness is. There can only be two classes of people on the earth: the wicked and the righteous. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. So, we have the righteous and the wicked. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And verse 11, woe. Another meaning of woe is curse. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be healed with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. So, God relates with people on the earth from these two standpoints: the wicked and the righteous. Those who perpetually, intentionally live in disobedience to the ordinances of God falls under the class of the wicked. And the Bible says, curse is in the house of the wicked. And I said to us that curse has different manifestations. Some persons may be at level 5 manifestation of a curse, while some persons are at level 1 manifestation of a curse. Just like we have diseases and sicknesses in the world, there are some diseases that have been graded from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, as the case may be. Like in diabetes, they say we have type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and type 3. And sometimes, very rarely, we have type 4. We have HIV 1, HIV 2. So someone can actually be at type 1. He has diabetes. Another person is at type 3. The manifestations are not the same. In fact, you can see a type 1 person and you don't believe he has diabetes. But when you see a type 3 person, you say, this one is diabetes personified. But the other one is still at type 1. So that's how curses operate. Some persons are still in type 1 curse. So when the Bible says, woe, curse is in the house of the wicked, it simply means that there are certain things that you should have been able to do ordinarily, freely, without so much effort, but you can't just do them because there is something you are not doing well with God. So, number one reason for the curse of God is wickedness. And the wickedness here is defined as unrighteous work. Unrighteous work. Somewhere in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, woe unto everyone who lies on his bed and devise evil devices, because it is in the power of his hand to do so. The Bible also says, curses everyone that oppresseth the poor. When we begin to talk about manifestation of the curse, we will understand that the fact that you are having money does not mean that you are blessed. Because somebody can be under a curse and is building a big house. How do I know? Let's go to Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Now look at that. God doesn't curse because he likes cursing. Because there are some people that like cursing. This thing you are doing to me, your children will do it to you. And looking at it very well, there's nothing anybody is doing. He said, and now thou art cast from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee a strength. You know, this also tells me that different grounds can be cursed for different people. Now, because If the first cause God gave to Adam was enough, God would not have needed to curse the ground again for Cain. So that is why you can be in the same place you are failing, and in that same place another person is succeeding. Because as far as you are concerned, for you that place is cursed for you, but it won't yield for you, but it will yield for another person. Do you understand that? So grounds are cursed for different persons. A business can be working for another and it can't work for you. Amen. You throw your net, you bring it empty, another person throws his net just a minute after you brought your own, and then has an enclosure, and you are wondering what is happening. So God is cursing the ground again for Cain. Adam's own was not enough, because that is Adam. He said, henceforth it shall not yield unto thee as strength, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. God has all the vocabularies. Praise God. So English language didn't start with the English people. God said a fugitive. Check for the meaning of fugitive, and you will not like to be one when you have known the meaning. Praise God. And God didn't stop there. Say you'll be a vagabond. So when next you tell your son you are a vagabond, you just know that the father of a vagabond is a vagabond. So when next you tell your son you are a goat, you just know that it is not possible for a human being to give birth to a goat. So if you call him a goat, you are invariably telling yourself, I'm a bigger goat. So when two goats are in the same house, you know they will actually trade horns. So stop calling him a goat. Praise God. And then in verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Even Cain could feel the weight. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. Cain is here accepting it in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Because fugitives are not supposed to stay where normal human beings are. So God, you have made me a fugitive, you have made me a candidate for death. Anybody is free to kill me. Now look at what God said to Cain in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. 17. And Cain knew his wife. Now this is a man under a curse. After that kind of curse that himself acknowledged, he could still marry. So there is no reason why you can't marry under a blessing. Praise God. If Cain could marry, you will marry. Amen. Amen. Cain was under the curse of God, and yet he could still marry. So stop giving yourself these excuses, because the family I come from, I mean, everybody's a curse. My father cursed, my grandfather cursed, that's why I'm not married. Look beyond it and say, I can marry. If Cain marry. The Bible says he got married. Number two, he knew his wife, and she conceived. If the curse of God couldn't stop Cain's wife from conceiving, there is nothing under the sun that will lock up your womb forever. Now, this is an encouragement. So, I'm trying to say that certain persons operating under a curse could have certain things going well for them, but that doesn't mean that they are blessed. If you saw Cain getting married, attended his wedding, you'll be thinking, what a blessed man. Ah, God has blessed you. Especially if you got married to a beautiful woman. Wow. Cain, what a blessing. And then, before their first marriage anniversary, the wife's stomach is already protruded. Ah, God loves you. Amen. So sometimes, there are people who say, God loves you, God is blessing you, and they're actually not under the blessing of God. She conceived, and it didn't stop there. And the Bible says she bare Enoch. And
He builded a city. A man under a curse built a city. May you build your own city. You build your own house. You build your own house. So you can say, let the curse of my father's house wait. This house, I will build it. Let them not say everybody in this family is under a curse that nobody will build a house. Every time you read Genesis chapter 4 verse 17, tell the curses of your father's house to wait. You are going to build. If the curse of God couldn't stop Cain from building a city, you will build. Praise God. This should give you motivation. So Cain built a city under a curse. He built a city under the curse of God. Praise Master Jesus.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling, Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom, Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting, Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.